This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the able assistance of the editor of the Melbourne Star Observer, Andy Noonan, making a welcome return to the show after a very long absence, I have to say.
It has been a very long time.
That's because it's normally your publication day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is publication day, yeah, deadline day for me.
But she's managed to tear herself away from that. She's got some very good people working for you anyway. You can trust them, can't you?
Indeed.
As I said back at the beginning of the show, we are quite used to being forgotten, overlooked and excluded from a wide variety of programs and activities. So, although you won't read about it in the mainstream media, it was good to see a section of on LGBTI seniors in the recent Productivity Commission report into aged care. Dr. Jo Harrison had something to do with that, and she joins us on the line now. Good afternoon, Jo.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm pretty well. Now, I understand your voice is not too happy at the moment. So
yeah, it's not too good, but I think it's very appropriate given that we're talking about health and ageing.
It is indeed. So, what has this Productivity Commission Aged Care Inquiry been about, and why is it so important?
Okay, well, in an absolute nutshell, it's an absolutely gigantic report in two volumes. This is the final report, and we all got a draft report to look at back in April. What has happened is effectively, you know, the government decided that they really needed to look to get the Productivity Commission to look at the whole of aged care, which anybody who's had anything to do with the aged care system in this country will realise it's nothing short of a jungle. It's an absolute maze. And it's impossible to negotiate. And as someone who supposedly knows the system from the inside, when I found myself dealing with the system as the daughter of a consumer, it was just as much a nightmare. So effectively, the Productivity Commission was asked to look, obviously, at the economic questions, but also at the sort of broader structural questions. And I must add, the social questions were in their terms of reference. So what we've got now is the final report that was released on Monday to much media fanfare. And that report has a range of very significant recommendations for quite broad structural reform to the aged care system, and that includes the way the system is structured and funded. Now, down there in Volume 2, in Chapter 11, there is a section that is in the chapter on diversity, chapter 11, mm-hmm. We have a dedicated section to GLBTI aged care. That was not the case in the draft report, and it is an absolutely tremendous outcome for an enormous number of individuals and organisations and elders from our community who have worked so hard since that draft report came out, and including having input into the draft report, but particularly since then, to convince the Productivity Commission report that we really warranted our own section under diversity, and we've got it. So that's great. That in itself is great news.
So, Jo, Andy Noonan here. Should we be pleased with what the Productivity Commission has come up with here, and are there any limitations?
Speaking personally, I'm very pleased to see the section on GLBTI aged care. I think it indicates that the Productivity Commission's like well and truly got the message about the importance of aged care services being non-discriminatory. It's got the importance about our elders having lived lives of prejudice and living in fear. It's got the point about invisibility and why that makes our group so special and the nature of our needs so special. They have made a number of significant statements, including that they see the idea of some sort of national GLBTI aged care plan as warranted. That's a very significant thing. There there is a very good, strong recommendation, 11.1, that refers to sexually diverse communities as well as Indigenous and other communities, and that particularly relates to accreditation of services. That's something we've been really pushing for a long time. Currently, we're not mentioned in any accreditation or regulatory instruments. So there's a lot of good stuff. Obviously, you talk about training, services, community care packages, all those sorts of things, which is great. In terms of the limitations, I've got concerns for pensioners and people on lower incomes in our community. I'm very concerned at the overall direction, I guess, of the Productivity Commission's report is such that in a lot of ways you could say it's moving aged care into a much more market-driven system.
Yeah, it's gone onto this user pays model.
Exactly,
it was very built around selling the family home or reverse mortgaging the family home, which is just selling it only slower.
Yeah, we've got the equity, the government-based equity loans or the pensioner, sort of scheme, the pension fund scheme as a proposal. Now, I think what they're doing is, they're sort of selling to the public something that is, yes, it is saying people who can afford to pay should pay and all this kind of stuff that sounds, in theory, people think, oh, well, I guess that's fair enough. And when you actually start to dig down into the report, which I still haven't done thoroughly, but I do know that what they're talking about is things like they're going to separate care and paying for care from accommodation and paying for accommodation. So we're now going to see two very different ways of paying for particularly residential care, and one of them is capped with a $60,000 limit, and we've heard heaps of that in the media, and one of them is not. I think we're also seeing a very significant shift in the level of government involvement. And as I said to Mark Butler on radio the other day, I know all the service providers are saying we're over-regulated, there's too much paperwork, blah, blah, blah. But I remember the days when I worked, in a nursing home, there was no standards monitoring, there was no accreditation, there were no complaint schemes, there was essentially no regulation of the industry at all. They did whatever they damn well liked. Can you imagine being a GLBTI person under a system like that? And I said that I thought that it was very, very important that government still take a very strong role. They're going to be setting up a new regulatory body. I think it's very important that GLBTI needs are reflected in the way that regulatory body is set up, the instrument that it uses, and the way those auditors monitor the system. So these are the sorts of things we need to relay back to them over the next 3 months while they're holding their consultations.
So there's an ongoing consultation period even now the report has been out. So they're looking for feedback.
Yes. Yeah,
does this ever end?
It's aged care, Doug. The consultation never ends. That's what you have to realise. So we're
just waiting for us all to die off.
That's right. They're hoping to kill us all off. So, we just consult and consult and consult. The minister's going to be travelling Australia and holding what are being called conversations. I think it's going to be very, very important for GLBTI organisations, elders, individuals, experts to all be involved in that process. The Council on the Ageing nationally is sort of overseeing the coordination of that process, and they've told me they're very committed to making sure that we are involved. They definitely announced the one in Adelaide's on Friday of next week, and we're organising GLBTI input into that. So that will be happening around Australia. Obviously, groups like the National GLBTI Health Alliance, other of our organisations will be speaking with Mark Butler or speaking with the Department of Health and Ageing. The subject on the top of everybody's list will be the Productivity Commission report.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Look, Jo, we're going to have to leave it there because we're running out of time, and give your voice a rest.
Thank you, Doug.
Do get well soon.
Definitely will, and I look forward to talking to you about it again in a few months' time.
Fingers crossed it all goes well. Thank you, Jo.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.